Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday, the 1st of July, 2016. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. We're broadcasting live on 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. The show will also be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. And on today's programme, we have a host of guests for you. We have an interview recorded yesterday with the director of the Centre for Entrepreneurs and of Startup Britain, Matt Smith. We'll be playing that later on during the show. We also have Ken Dunn, Business Development Director of Transave, a credit union celebrating 20 years in business. And on the programme today, we have Peter Gilbert, who's launched a new social enterprise in Kakamega, Western Kenya, called K-Mega. And we're also joined by Emma Colburn, who's the Area Events Manager of Cancer Research UK, talking about Race for Life this weekend. Before we turn to all of our guests, quick update of what's going on in business and social enterprise. So, the business and the social enterprise sector are watching, waiting and observing as the turmoil after the vote to leave the EU carries on. And it appears that we don't have either a government or an opposition with leaders at the moment. But observers continue to worry about the potential impact on business and on social enterprise. Mark Carney, who's the governor of the Bank of England, yesterday announced that it's likely that interest rates will be reduced either in a couple of weeks' time or in 6 weeks' time at the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee meeting. As ever, we'll be watching this space and keep you updated. Applications are still open for this year's Small Biz 100, Small Biz Saturday campaign. If you want to find out more, all you need to do is go to smallbusinesssaturdayuk.com for details. It's also worth mentioning that the Edge Fund are offering grants of up to £3,000 for work, and you can find out more about those on the Edge Fund website. And Beyond Me are looking for charities or social enterprise that they can match with professionals or businesses who can provide support on projects like business modelling, strategic planning and employability coaching. Also worth flagging that the UK Social Enterprise Awards, run by Social Enterprise UK, which recognise outstanding work carried out by the leading social enterprises in the country. Those awards close on the 8th of July, so a week today. A couple of events coming up. Wasco Brown Foundation, latest in their Enterprising Partners event, was this week in Rotherham. But their next one is in Doncaster on the 12th of July. And you can find out more, of course, about that by looking up Enterprising Partners on Eventbrite. Lots and lots of things coming up, and we'll keep you posted. So continue to tune into this programme and follow me or Sheffield Live on Twitter too. So let's turn now to our first guest of today, and Sheffield-based Transave celebrating 20 years in business after rapid growth from small beginnings to become one of the UK's leading credit unions, specialising in working with employers nationwide to provide both savings and low-cost loans to their employees. And quite a worrying statistic is that almost 40% of UK workers say that money worries make them feel stressed. That stress then could lead to poor performance at work or even absence from work. So Ken Dunn, Business Development Director of Transave, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Jamie. Good morning. morning.
Good morning indeed. So first of all, congratulations on celebrating 20 years and getting to that 20-year milestone, Ken.
Thanks very much. Yes, it seems like forever ago, really. Those of your listeners who can remember back in 1996 may remember that most of the buses in South Yorkshire were run by Mainline.
Yes.
And Mainline was a worker cooperative. And they realised that many of their staff, their drivers, had financial well-being issues. So what they did was they set up the credit union to try and help them with that. And quite simply, a credit union is just a financial co-op. It's owned and controlled by its members. In our case, you have to work for one of the partner organisations that we work with.
Yeah.
And they set that up, as you say, because of the statistics that many reports recently are coming out with from Barclays, YouGov, AXA, saying that many employees suffer stress because of financial well-being issues. As you rightly say, that leads to stress, anxiety, fatigue. It can affect productivity. Presenteeism, I know that's normally associated with if you've got a hangover and you turn up and you're there, but you're not really there. But the same could work if you're so worried about your financial worries that you're actually dealing with your credit as well you're at work, or you're not concentrating on the job. That can lead to accidents at work. Productivity, the Barclays research said that they worked out that the company bottom line declined by about 4%. And that £15 billion per year was lost to UK industry because of this financial stress. So the credit union, Transave, are an attempt to try and alleviate that stress.
Yes.
So over the last 20 years, we've expanded from Mainline into the rest of First Group. We also work with a number of other bus companies, London United, Metro Bus. And then more recently, we've branched into other organisations like Doncaster and Bassett Law, NHS Trust, South Yorkshire Police, a lot of employee-owned companies and social enterprises.
And we've talked about many employee-owned companies on this programme.
Yeah.
A very famous big example here in Sheffield as well of an employee-owned company. So you've Transave has expanded considerably from those roots, from those starting points. And over the 20 years that you've been running, you must have seen enormous number of different pressures on the people that you serve and the communities that you serve. And what you've just spelled out, Ken, is how by existing you're helping employees, but you're also helping employers if their
Absolutely.
Employees are stressed and can't work properly.
Yes.
So it's absolutely makes sense for you to be there and to provide these services.
Yeah, it's a bit of a no-brainer really for companies. I mean, interestingly, again, a lot of these surveys are saying there's a disconnect between what the employers think and what actually their staff are saying. So when the Barclays research, for example, asked the employees, 60% actually said they worried about their finances, and one in 10 of those thought that their company didn't really care about their financial well-being.
Right.
But 72% of employers, when they were asked, said, oh, yes, I'm sure our staff think we do a great job with employee benefits and we really look after them. So there's a bit of a disconnect. So this scheme, you know, Transave, doesn't cost the employer anything. We handle all the administration. All we ask for is payroll deductions every week or month. We handle the savings side, where members get a really competitive 2% on their savings, a return, which is a dividend based on the profit.
Okay.
Also, we're very competitive on the loan side. So I think, as I say,
when
for
you say
employers,
competitive
it's a no-brainer.
On the loan side, what sort of...
Our loans start at 4% APR. That's a specialist loan that we make to people who are wanting to invest in their company, so employee-owned share buyouts,
yeah.
Capital. But they range right through a range of APRs. But the top rate of APR that we charge is 15.64, which is for a very, very small loan of, say, £500. If you compared that with the high street, NatWest, Halifax, you know, those sort of companies are charging 20-odd percent.
Yeah, but also, if you were to compare that with payday lenders and high-interest lenders that are using sort of fintech and financial products being sold through the internet to provide people with instant loans are typically on very, very high APRs, even though they have been capped. And there's been an awful lot of publicity for lenders like Wonga and other payday lenders. But their rates, even though they've been capped, are astronomical in comparison with yours.
I mean, Wonga, since they were capped, it used to be 5,680-something%. This isn't a plug for Wonga, by the way, or an attack on them.
Well, no.
But now they're even, you know, fantastic rate is something like 1,268%. So compare very well.
Compare with your highest rate of, what, 15%? Okay. So by existing, you A, provide something that employees say they want, even if their employers don't necessarily always understand and realise that. The research that you've quoted has demonstrated. That alleviates stresses, of course, lets people get on with doing the work that they want to be doing and that their employers want them to be doing.
Absolutely.
And presumably it saves people an awful lot in terms of high interest compared with, you know, other higher interest lenders.
Yes.
Or it gives them a saving mechanism, which is going straight into that saving mechanism deducted at source from payroll.
So yes.
Quite effective.
Most of our campaigns that we do working in partnership with employers are around that, to say, look, if it's deducted from your wages directly, it isn't that you don't miss it, but it's an easier way to do that.
Yeah.
And the sort of savings element, as we've touched on, and the loans comparisons, we've made £100 million of loans to our members, and we've estimated, compared even to the high street banks, we saved them about £7 million in interest, the difference between our interest and what they'd be charging the high street, let alone the higher rate. We've also returned well over £3 million in dividends to members. And we also throw in things like a free-to-the-member life scheme. So if the member dies, we write off any loan they have with us, we give them a funeral grant, and we return the shares to the next of kin. There's all sorts of benefits that you get from Transave as well. So it's a really good package and a bit of a no-brainer for lots of companies that we've already partnered with.
So you could say, if a company is listening to this and thinks, well, this sounds great, it doesn't cost me anything in terms of, you handle the administration and it's easy to set up.
Yeah.
And I'd like to provide that for my employees, then you are open to approaches, are you?
Oh, certainly. And we're bringing on new employers all the time. Yeah. We've just started discussions with South Yorkshire Housing Association and many more in the pipeline as well. So, yes, please get in touch with the office if you're at all interested.
Great stuff. And we've talked quite a lot about responsible finance on this programme and community development finance and community finance institutions lending to social enterprises and to ordinary businesses that can't get capital, finance that they perhaps need for growth from banks and so on. Credit unions sit alongside community development finance institutions, and there've been calls by organisations like Responsible Finance and like ABCL, the member organisation for credit unions, for government to provide further capital into the sectors, which can be lent out and then recirculate, and that capital grows.
Yeah.
Now, if you had a sort of magic wand and could make something happen at policy level, whether that's locally or nationally, are there any wishes that you'd make come true?
Ah, that was sprung on me. No, I mean, I think obviously everyone is just waiting to see what happens in the aftermath of Brexit. It doesn't really affect us, except for we are governed by some European directives that exempt us from things like the Consumer Credit Act and some forms of taxation. We get a bit of a break on. So we're just waiting to see how that plays, but we think whatever the British government ends up as, they'll hold to that. We're not too worried about that. We have had recent injections of government finance. We had £36 million pumped into the credit union movement by previous government. So really, I think now it's just more encouragement, really, and the government, you know, as you say, sort of projecting what a good thing credit unions and CDFIs are really would help.
Great stuff. Okay, well, thank you very much for that, Ken. And of course, if people want to find out more, whether you're in an employer and you think, well, yes, I'd like to do this, I'd like to provide this for my employees, or whether you're an employee and you'd like to sort of take a look and then see if you can get your employer to work with Transsafe, people can get in touch with you, Ken, or get in touch with Transsafe. Best place to start would be through the website. Do you want to give out the website address?
Yes, it's www.transsaveuk.co.uk.
Superb. Okay, well, Ken Dunn, Business Development Director of Transsafe, thank you very much indeed for joining me today and for telling us about that. Congratulations on 20 years as well. And we'll just take a quick break for a track of music. And the track we're going to play is The Jam, We're Going Underground.
We're open for business life.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. My name's Jamie Veitch. Business Live is our weekly business and social enterprise programme. We've been talking this morning with Ken Dunn of Transsafe, a Sheffield-based credit union working exclusively with employers throughout the UK to offer financial products to their employees. Next up on the programme, though, well, this weekend, 1,800 Sheffield women will unite with over 50,000 from across the UK, taking part in Cancer Research UK's Race for Life. The event, which is at Meadowhall Shopping Centre, is part of a bumper weekend of 5K, 10K and pretty muddy events, which are taking place nationally at about 32 venues. And organisers hope this will raise millions for life-saving research. I'm joined now in the studio by Emma Colborne, the Area Events Manager for Cancer Research UK. Emma, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks very much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm looking outside. It's sunny now. It was raining earlier. Have you seen the weather forecast for the weekend?
It keeps changing, so hoping for a dry day.
Yes,
we want it to be nice and sunny if it can be, but you know, British weather, so
yes.
Sure, it won't dampen the ladies' spirits either way.
Well, I'm sure it won't, absolutely. And it is well known for being a sort of effusive, positive and joyous event as well, that you organise Race for Life. Absolutely fantastic in terms of colour, the everyone in a sea of pink.
Yeah, definitely. I think the main thing is obviously all the women there. You know, we're here to unite to try and beat cancer, and I think that's the main message that we're trying to get across, and that's the main reason why everybody's there. We're all trying to come together as, you know, a big united force to try and help find a cure, really. So
absolutely. Well, it must be an organisational and logistical challenge, which I'm sure you rise to.
Yeah.
it must be a long time in the planning.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Race for Life takes place every year, so there are a number of things that we have to organise throughout the year, and particularly with Meadowhall, we have a number of road closures to make sure that the event is obviously safe and free for the participants to run around, but also making sure that it's back up and running for all the normal shoppers for their normal Sunday shopping. So yeah, we are restricted against time, but it all works fine on the day. It's just challenging and, you know, managing all those tasks.
Yes, quite. And how long have you been involved then?
3 years now, so this is the third year that I'm doing Sheffield Race for Life. But I love it. It's challenging all the time, but it's great.
And whilst you can't run in this weekend's event, you'll be at base making sure everything goes smoothly. Are you a runner yourself? Do you get involved? Do you run in?
I wasn't, to be honest. When I came into this job, that's something that I've been trying to do as a personal goal. So that's why I think Race for Life as well, just to reiterate, it's not competitive. You don't have to be a runner. You can walk. And for me particularly, I mean, it's 5K, which is just over 3 miles. I can only just about manage that myself. So it's just, you know, really trying to get women together. And, you know, it's not a competitive event.
No,
we're there
it's
for
not.
The main course, so they don't have to run. They can walk, they can take them time. And, you know, it's just a nice kind of walk around Meadowhall if they don't want to run. So whilst there are people that run, and that, you know, we do have people that they're doing it at their personal best and they do it really, really quickly, and that's amazing. I'm probably not up there with the runners. I'm a jogger. So.
Yeah, but that's a really important message as well. It's a personal challenge, whether you want to walk, whether you want to run, whether you want to jog backwards. or do it as a three-legged race in terms of, you know, you have all sorts of people.
We've had people dancing
around.
Yeah. We've had hula hoopers. Last year at Meadowhall, we had a marching band and they played their instruments the whole way round, and that was great to see. I mean, we've never had anything like that before, and that was really nice. They're playing all their songs all the way round. So, yeah, it's great.
And, of course, lots of listeners will equate to that. It's sort of people would participate because of the absolute desire to raise funds into research for a cause that affects so many of us. and perhaps in memory as well, and also people doing it as a personal challenge, walk it, run it, go around with friends and enjoy it as well.
Definitely. And I think obviously we have a lot of people that take part in Race for Life that have maybe had cancer themselves or might still be undergoing treatment. Yeah. So for them, you know, it really is a huge personal goal that they might be having chemotherapy, but they want to cross that finish line, and that's what Race for Life's all about. And seeing those type of people cross the finish line at the end, it doesn't matter how long it takes, they've done it, and that's the biggest thing, and that's really, really important. I think also a common misconception with Race for Life is that it's for breast cancer. It's not, you know, it's for Cancer Research UK as a whole.
Yes.
And all the money that those people are raising is going into over 200 types of cancers. So that's men, women, children. You know, it's really is to try and beat find a cure for all types of cancer.
Yes, absolutely. So that's really, really important for people to remember as well, and an important message. So, as you mentioned, taking place at Meadowhall, sort of cooperation and coordination with a large business in itself, Meadowhall itself, and all the businesses there, crucial for this to work well. And yeah, something that as area events manager yourself, you must be heavily involved with.
There's a lot of parties that we liaise with, a lot of stakeholders involved, you know, working with venues like this and councils as well to get road closures in place. We have to make sure that the event's safe. So, you know, we have to liaise with, we have first aid on site and the police, making sure that it's all, you know, pulled together to be a safe event, really. But also it's a great way to get the local community involved. So we have a number of people that come down and support us on the day. Obviously, it's a charitable event, but we've got Sheffield International Venues that are coming to do the warm-up. We've got a local dance group coming. We've got a local choir. So, you know, they're there to help motivate the runners as well. Which is really nice, another way for people to get involved.
Absolutely, yes. And I suppose we all had a reminder a couple of years ago that these things aren't necessarily easy to run. When 3 years ago, I think it is now, the Sheffield Half Marathon had to be cancelled on the day with the lack of water. The Sheffield Half Marathon went really well, of course, this year, went really well last year, the new course and so on. Couple of years ago when it couldn't run on the day, it was a reminder that it isn't easy to get all these logistical things lined up.
Yeah, and also it shows that we have other partners involved. So
yes,
for that, for example, I presume, you know, they have a supplier that's bringing that water in, and then if there's some, you know, confusion or mishap with the supplier and that's not turned up, then that has such a big effect on the participants. So, you know, we are lucky that we have really good relationships with our suppliers and partners nationally, and luckily that we've never had anything like that happen. But also we make contingencies if anything like that does happen. Also, you know, we're talking the difference between a 5K and a half marathon, so the runners' needs are quite different there. But as you say, there's a number of things involved, a number of parties and stakeholders that we have to liaise with to make the event a success.
Yes, quite, absolutely. So after this weekend then, do you get a little bit of a sort of breathing space, or is it straight on to continuing?
No, not really. So Race for Life events take place every single weekend. Yeah. Well, and in the week we have weekday ones all throughout the country. So myself, actually, I've been organising ones in May and June. So July is starting to quieten off a little bit, although saying that, I'm at an event next weekend and the weekend after. So no rest for the wicked just yet.
And how do you find engaging with businesses in Sheffield and in the Sheffield City region? Is our region, are our businesses and social enterprises generous supporters?
Definitely. I think as well, because obviously because it's for Cancer Research UK, it is a charity that is a cause that affects everybody and it's close to a lot of people's hearts. So we do get quite generous support from everybody, really, locally. And, you know, people on the day, the participants and the supporters, everybody there. I think it's because it's just such a common theme that unfortunately, everybody does know somebody that's touched by cancer in one way or another.
Indeed.
And it's a cause for everybody to come together and unite. So, yeah, it's a great way to get involved.
Well, indeed. So you can get involved. You can go and cheer on runners, walkers, participants, enjoying Race for Life, which, as Emma's pointed out, is more than a race. It's not a sort of competitive. It's an enjoyable participative event. You can go to the website. Emma, you can give out the website address if you'd like to.
Yeah, it's raceforlife.org, and the event is this Sunday at Meadow Hall. It's a 9:30 start. As we've said, it's 5K, which is just over 3 miles. So come down if you want to take part. You can still sign up until midnight tonight, and the entries close. Or, you know, you can come down and cheer people on the day.
Fantastic. So sign up, take part. It's not too late. You've got till midnight to do so, or get down there on Sunday, cheer people on. Emma Colborn, Area Events Manager, Cancer Research UK, talking with us about this weekend's Race for Life. Emma, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Superb. Well, we'll play a track of music now that this one's been chosen by Emma, and the track is Little Mix. It's Salute.
We're open for Business Live.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. Business Live is our weekly programme focusing on business and social enterprise. And remember, you can get in touch with this show if there's something you think we should cover, if you want to put yourself or someone else forward as a guest, if you want to comment on what we've been discussing or give us feedback, you can do so. All you need to do is email jamie@sheffieldlive.org, text 07904 272 200. Find us on Twitter at Sheffield Live. Find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter too. Whether you're starting or running a business or a social enterprise, whether you're an employer or an employee, we're always keen to hear from you. On the programme today, you've just heard an interview with Emma Colborn, the Area Events Manager of Cancer Research UK, and she's been talking about Race for Life, of course, on Sunday at Meadow Hall. We've also heard from Ken Dunn, Business Development Director of Transsave, a credit union expert, talking about how to alleviate money worries amongst UK employees and workers. And if you've just tuned in, don't panic, because you should be able to catch the podcast of the programme on the Sheffield Live website later. Now, next up, I'm delighted to have in the studio with us Peter Gilbert, who's launched a new social enterprise in Kakamega, Western Kenya. So, Peter Gilbert, good morning.
Good morning, Jamie.
Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
So, first of all, Kakamega, what is the objective of the social enterprise that you've launched?
Kakamega's objective is to support informal sector employees or informal sector self-employed people in Kenya's. And
this has come about because you've identified a need for support in people working in the informal economy in Kenya, which is where most people work, I understand.
Yeah, in Kenya, about 80% of the people are actually working informally. Yeah. So, and amongst that, we've got around 40% of youth unemployment. And people are stuck basically in subsistence level poverty.
Right.
And they're working incredibly hard. They're working long hours and they're working every day of the week, but they're unable to get beyond subsistence.
So, you want to support them in terms of coming out of poverty, coming out of poverty level subsistence. Now, how will Kakamega do that?
Okay, so we have two main parts of our program over in Kenya. We partner with local entrepreneurs in business and we help them to nurture their businesses. We help them to grow them up from sort of sole trader enterprises up to small and medium-sized businesses.
Yeah, great stuff.
And then we also promote sustainable business practices in the community through outreach and training programs.
Okay, so that sounds admirable, and it sounds like the impact and the effect there of that work is going to be sustainable and positive. Where did the idea and the need come from? How did you identify that you could get involved and make a difference?
Okay, so I'm working with my colleague Jack Owen. Jack Owen is a development expert who has been working in Kenya for the last 7 years. And it's actually based on his research that he conducted last year in Kenya. He interviewed 500 informal sector sole traders, self-employed people, and interviewed them about what they saw as limiting them or holding them back from developing their businesses. And from those 500 interviews, 80% of people responded that they needed business planning, financial skills, and affordable microfinance as ways to improve their businesses. So once we knew what the people, were asking for, we then went about seeing how we could provide that. And one of the key things about K-Mega is it's really rooted in the idea that sustainable development or meaningful development must be anchored within the market economy, the local economy. And by working with local business people, we're hoping to build up a network of successful businesses that will then generate better incomes for the people we are working with. And K-Mega, the organization supporting them, will also become self-sufficient through its partnership with these businesses. So
it's a virtuous circle of investing in a local economy and getting that money circulating, paying back to K-Mega, and investing once again.
Yes.
K-Mega becomes sustainable. The people that you support and work with become sustainable or grow businesses, and you're then able to work with further.
So exactly that. I mean, we're not looking for an organization that's grant fund dependent.
No.
We're looking for an organization that's running itself. It's paying its own way. And it can only do that if it's successful. So the proof is in the pudding. If these business partnerships work, then K-Mega can continue working. If they don't work, there's no need for K-Mega in the first place.
So the proof then is in these partnerships working. Yeah.
And in earlier this year, because K-Mega is a very new organization, we only launched in April this year. But we've already gone into partnership with two businesses out in Kenya. The first one is working with a group of informal sector workers who banded together to set up a self-help group. There's around 100 members of this self-help group. They are metal workers, panel beaters, welders, basically mechanics, but working out in the sun. They call them Juakali workers because they're out in the hot sun in Swahili. And we are helping them to develop new industrial practices, but mainly we're basically making prototypes for machines that they can make themselves out of scrap metal, and then they can sell to other people in the community and throughout Kenya, and these machines can be used as income generating small income generating businesses themselves. So for example, we've built a sugarcane press, and this sugarcane press can now then improve the incomes of people who are already farming sugarcane. We hope that we'll be able to also go into production of biofuel briquets and clay brick presses.
So absolutely fantastic in terms of already seeing superb micro businesses and being able to work with and support them and make a difference and create sustainability as well. Now, this has come, of course. K-Mega, as you say, is very, very new. And at the moment, you're actually running a crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo. And you can tell people about that in a moment or two. This has come, of course, after working internationally yourself for many years. I know you spent 5 years working in Vietnam and working in a project there. Can you just tell us a little bit about how your social enterprise journey?
I'm happy to. I think I came in very much randomly, to be honest. I spent a lot of my early 20s traveling around the world, living in South America, Asia, Europe, working on ski seasons and summer seasons, doing a bit of just having loving life. And then at the end of a winter season in Japan, I ended up backpacking around Southeast Asia. And I got into Vietnam, and I got into this mountain town in the north of Vietnam called Sapa. And there I was introduced to a local group, a local organization that had just started and wanted to develop a community community support work for ethnic minority people living up in these mountains, providing education and vocational training. And so I just got involved with that, really. I just volunteered for a few weeks, and that quickly turned into 5 years.
From a few weeks to 5 years, yeah.
I mean, I fell in love with the area, and I fell in love with the mission of the community-based organization.
Yeah.
And I found out quite quickly, as I moved from being a volunteer teacher to taking on more and more management roles within the organization, and eventually being the organization's associate director, I was constantly under pressure to provide the funding to continue running our program. And we did all the usual tricks, like student sponsorship. Yeah. And in the end, it just became apparent that we needed to generate our own income. So we set up a responsible travel company. And that became very successful, and then we were in a much stronger position. And I think it's so important in today's world that charities, no matter where they are, what they're doing, they kind of need to be able to pay their way. So that's where I became so passionate about social enterprise. It was by
earning income for social impact, and being able to actually earn that income rather than being dependent on grants.
Yes.
Yeah. Great stuff. Well, what a fascinating journey, Peter, and brilliant to hear about K-Mega. We wish you all the best with, obviously with the work that K-Mega is doing, but also with the current crowdfunding campaign. And we'll have to have you back on the program again soon to hear more about it. But you can give people a link right now to where they can get involved. If they like the idea of what you're doing, they can support you on your current crowdfunding campaign.
Thank you, Jamie. So, yeah, we're trying to build a community of support for our project. We see it as a new paradigm in the international development world, and we really believe in it. We're currently running a crowdfunder on Indiegogo's platform. We've raised over £2,000 so far from over 50 amazing backers.
Well, I'm delighted to say I've put in £20 because I think it's
you.
Fantastic
what
Thank
you
do.
Thank you. The crowdfunder is Support Micro Entrepreneurs in Kenya, and you can Google K-Mega Kenya on Indiegogo, and we've got a Facebook and a Twitter. That's K-Mega Kenya. So please find out about us and get in touch. We'd love to hear from you.
Excellent. Well, Peter Gilbert, talking about K-Mega, thank you so much for joining us today, and all the best with the crowdfunding campaign and, of course, with the work that you're doing. Thank you, Peter. This is Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. We're going to play a track of music that Peter Gilbert has chosen, but we're going to play that at the end of the programme today so that you can hear that when we play out before our next programme. Thank goodness it's folk. Before we do that, though, yesterday I caught up with Matt Smith, who's a director of the Centre for Entrepreneurs, but also of Startup Britain. And Startup Britain brought a double-decker bus to Sheffield yesterday, but it was no ordinary double-decker bus. It was a vintage Routemaster, and on it were a conductor, a driver, but they were helping to conduct and drive your startup business, because they were helping to helping people who wanted to start a business, giving them business advice. It's part of a tour that Startup Britain are doing in terms of taking this bus all around the country. I caught up with Matt Smith yesterday to find out a bit more. We'll hear from Matt now. So I'm joined now on the top deck of a double-decker bus in Barkerspool in Sheffield by Matt Smith. Matt, hello. Thanks for joining me today.
Not at all. Thank you.
So first of all, why is there a bus parked here in Barkerspool, and what are you trying to do?
So Startup Britain, it's a campaign to promote entrepreneurship, and we're on our fifth annual summer bus tour, where we take this beautiful 1966 London Routemaster bus, and we park it on the high streets and town squares across the country. And we give free business advice to anyone thinking about or in the process of starting a business.
Great. And in Sheffield itself, there have been something in the region of 1,700 new businesses already formed in the first
5 months of 2016. What sort of appetite and interest are you getting today?
Well, really good. I mean, Barker's Pool, fantastic location, really good foot flow. The sun is out, which is key.
Yep.
I think Sheffield really benefits. It's got two fantastic universities churning out a lot of talented entrepreneurial graduates, but you've also got really healthy ecosystem. A lot of people running businesses and wanting to grow, but also a lot with ideas, but wanting that first step of advice.
So what are the common things that people who come and jump on the bus and question you and question the advisors? What are the challenges? What are the worries? What are the concerns that people are saying, I need help with this?
So we get two types of people on board. There's the individual who's had an idea for a while, hasn't done anything about it, really doesn't know how to do anything about it, and isn't the type to walk into a business centre or go in for support anywhere. But they see this beautiful burst, they get on board, and we talk through the very basics of developing their plan, looking at the marketing, looking at competition, pricing, how to get finance, the very basics of how to get started. The other half tend to be people that have got an idea. They may have been working on it part-time during their evenings and weekends. They might be selling something online. But what they need is to firm up their legals, their accounting. They need to maybe get or improve a website and start selling more. So a few more targeted questions from them, but very much the same from everyone on board. They just want some more advice.
Okay, so you're getting two broad demographics, the sort of aspirational, love to do it at some point in the future, really very early stage thinking about it, and the other people have already been working hard on their business idea and they need some specifics.
Yeah, and the latter group are really interesting because they are the ones that are earning some money, they've got a good business idea, and they're at that crucial phase where they're wondering, when do I jump? When do I give up my paycheck, my monthly income, my full-time job, and go full-time into this business to make it grow? And that's a really important question for entrepreneurs.
Okay, super. And in light of the decision in the EU referendum last week, are you noticing that people are coming and asking you and your team questions about how that might affect businesses that they might start up?
We haven't had any explicit questions about that, but I think what's encouraging is it hasn't seemed to have impacted demand. And what I think is that entrepreneurship is a personal endeavour. If you have an idea and you're passionate about turning that idea into an action, you will crack ahead regardless. There is always uncertainty, there is always risk, but it's an entrepreneur's job to tackle that adversity, push through any challenges, and the outcome of the EU referendum and whatever might happen off the back of it is just another uncertainty on the horizon that shouldn't really influence entrepreneurs' actions right now.
Okay, and that is that's an interesting point, and I'm sure a valid point in terms of entrepreneurs and people who want to set up businesses and start up businesses, and creating a business, starting and growing a business is risky and is challenging and is uncertain in of itself. But that aside, do you think that the landscape of being perhaps more uncertain than it was, whilst we wait to see if and when Article 50 is invoked and what negotiations lead to in terms of relationships with the EU, is that uncertainty going to impact on business, do you think?
I don't think so. I think, there's a small subset of startups, particularly based in London, that heavily rely on passporting, access to the European single market, some financial sector. I think a lot of the companies based down south and London particularly have relied on a lot of European talent and developers and others. So there are some kind of important questions for those, but I don't think those issues are as prevalent in Sheffield or outside London. So really, tech startups, entrepreneurs more broadly, shouldn't be overly concerned about what may happen. Right now, as per last week, nothing has really changed.
So our listeners perhaps could take comfort from that as we all watch this space. Well, Matt, thanks for that. Your tour, Sheffield's the 13th stop, I believe, of 30.
Yes.
All over the country. And it's supported by partners, including Prince's Trust, Entrepreneurial Spark, Unlimited, Intellectual Property Office, and local partners as well, including Rido, Rotherham Investment and Development Office. And you've had some local entrepreneur mentors here on the bus today.
We have. So this is one of the greatest things, that we invite local entrepreneurs on board each day, and they give the advice, the inspiration, and talk through their stories with people that get on board. But then we have the local support organisations, the local library business units, everyone that can give advice, not just today, but tomorrow and beyond when we've moved on to our next city. So it's very important that people coming on board talk to local support organisations.
That's great. Well, that's encouraging again. And I noticed, and I read the list of partners out, Unlimited is in there, who many of our listeners will know of in terms of their support for social entrepreneurs. This programme itself covers traditional business, covers values-led business, and covers social enterprise. And encouraging to see Unlimited as one of your partners. What sort of percentage of people who get onto the bus all over the tour are asking about setting up a social enterprise?
I think overall, across the UK, the statistics would suggest about a third of individuals wishing to start a business are looking to do a social enterprise or a charity. I think, even if they are not coming on board with an explicit social enterprise model, a lot of people really understand the social value that their businesses are creating, either through delivering a useful product and service, or helping to employ people, and particularly help employ particularly challenged individuals. So I think there is the distinct definition of the social enterprise and the charity, but I'd say all entrepreneurs that we've been engaging really understand the wider social mission they have.
Okay, well, that's great. And Matt, people who've heard the interview today, we're broadcasting on Friday. The bus has been in Sheffield on Thursday, of course. If you've missed the bus, don't worry, because you can still get on via Startup Britain. You have a website, and there are a number of resources there aimed at people starting or growing business and wanting business support. You can give that website
yes.
address, Matt.
So it's www.startupbritain.org. The bus schedule is on there for the rest of July. We are in Canterbury on Monday. We then go on to Lancaster on the 11th and all over the place. We actually are bringing the bus back to Sheffield for the Maid Festival in a few months' time as well. So it's up and down the country in as many places as possible.
That's great. Well, Matt Smith, Director of Startup Britain and of the Centre for Entrepreneurs, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. Business Live is our weekly programme focusing on business and social enterprise. We're on air every Friday from 9 a.m. through to 10 a.m. So if you'd like to be involved, if you'd like to nominate yourself or someone else as a guest, you can get in touch. Email jamie at sheffieldlive.org, text 07904 272 200. Find us on Twitter at Sheffield Live, or find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter as well. Whether you're starting, running a business or a social enterprise, an employer, an employee, freelance, self-employed, we're always keen to hear from our listeners and to hear what you'd like to hear on this programme. So do get in touch. On the programme today, we've heard from Ken Dunn, Business Development Director of Transave UK, a Sheffield-based credit union working with employers throughout the UK to offer financial products to their employees. We've also heard from Emma Colburn, Area Events Manager of Cancer Research UK, and Emma's been talking about this weekend's Race for Life. You can still register for Race for Life if you want to take part. It's at Meadowhall on Sunday morning. You can register up until midnight tonight at raceforlife.org. So please do, or simply go along and cheer people on. And we've also had Peter Gilbert on the programme today talking about a new social enterprise in Kakamega, Western Kenya. The social enterprise called K-Mega has an objective to enable people working within the informal sector, which is about 70-80% of Kenya's workforce, to escape substance poverty through collaborative business and training programmes. And Peter's been talking about K-Mega and about a crowdfunding campaign that they're running on Indiegogo too. Now, we're going to play out with a track of music which Peter has chosen. Before we do that, just a quick reminder, don't go away though after this, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme, Thank Goodness It's Folk. That's on from 10 a.m. all the way through to noon, and we of course will be back next Friday 9 a.m. through to 10, so tune in then. Thanks for listening today. Thanks also to Sangeeta, our sound engineer in the studio today, and to all my guests. Peter, still in the studio, thank you for coming in. We're going to play a track that you've chosen. What's the track?
The track's called Something For You by a Kenyan artist called Octo Pizzo, and I'd like to dedicate it to Janet, Humphrey and Sarah, our K-Mega team.
Superb. So, Octo Pizzo, Something For You. Peter, thank you. Thanks for listening.
We're open for business live.